This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And we're very pleased to welcome Gila Fein, lecturer in rabbinic literature. She's in Jerusalem. Most importantly, she's the author of a new book, The Mad Woman in the Rabbi's Attic, pointing to a very famous argument that I read as a young person about the mad woman in the attic being a character in Victorian literature, especially the Bronte sisters. The idea was the mad woman was not mad at all. It was a type that allowed the men to write about women and not take them seriously. That, however, has vanished from our civilization. Now, Gila, a very good evening to you. Congratulations. Especially,
thank you very much.
Especially we're talking about Talmudic women. What is the Talmud? What is it to be a woman in the Talmud today? How have they been liberated? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me. So the Talmud, in an absolute nutshell, is the founding text of Judaism. The Judaism we practice to this day is rabbinic Judaism. It was formulated by the rabbis who lived after the destruction of the temple in the year 70. And the Talmud was really their crowning achievement. It is an encyclopedic work of Jewish law and wisdom. And so essentially it is a work created by rabbis for rabbis, and women naturally occupy a far more marginal place within it. On the rare occasion where we do find a woman in the Talmud, she's always almost always anonymous. She's going to take on the name of the important rabbi in her life. So we have a bunch of the wife of Rabbi X, or the daughter of Rabbi Y, or the mother of Rabbi Z. In fact, in all of rabbinic literature, there are just 52 named women. By comparison, there are over 1,000 named men. And of these 52, exactly six are heroines of their own Talmudic narrative. And it's these six that I look at in the book. They are Yalta, Choma, Malta, Cheruta, Boya, and Ima Shalom. Now, these are different women who lived in different times, different places. They had different personalities, different life circumstances. But they all have this in common. Every one of these women appears at first reading to embody a different anti-feminine archetype, a caricature of a quote-unquote bad woman. So Yalta appears to be a perfect shrew, and Choma is a classic femme fatale, and Malta is a paradigmatic prima donna. And yet, with almost every one of these women, we discover upon second reading that this is not at all the case. And this perhaps goes back to the book that I paraphrase in my title, The Mad Woman in the Attic. These women are far more complex than they first appear to be. And the rabbis had some surprising, so as not to say surprisingly, proto-feminist ideas of marriage, sex, childbirth, and what it meant to be a woman in the world. Now, I wouldn't claim that the rabbis were feminists, at least not in the modern sense of the word, but they were fundamentally humanists. They were fundamentally moralists. They cared greatly about the moral treatment of others. And women for the rabbis were the ultimate other. So the rabbis use these stories of women to articulate their ethics of otherness, to impart moral messages about how we ought to treat the others in our midst. And so in reading the stories of the women of the Talmud, and perhaps more specifically in rereading their stories, there's a great deal we stand to learn, both about how to read a character in a text, but more importantly, how to treat the people in our lives.
Malcolm?
So could you say how this reinterpreting or explaining the six women's stories? You say that there's still much that the ancient texts really have to teach us about human complexity, the roles of women, et cetera. How do you think this fresh perspective on the heroines of the Talmud will inspire readers today, especially people who may feel marginalized in their own communities?
So one of the central arguments of the book is that women being the ultimate other to the rabbis basically are a stand-in for any other. And so these moral messages that the stories of the women of the Talmud convey are really about how we treat any other in our midst, any kind of marginalized minority, anybody who doesn't quite fit the mainstream. But I will say this. I read, as I said, every story in the book twice. Once to determine its simple meaning, and then a second time to uncover the deeper truth that lies hidden between the lines. So a story might read as a simple tale of a shrew or a femme fatale, but a rereading will inevitably deconstruct the archetype and reveal the heroine in all of her complicated glory. And the idea of invoking an archetype to deconstruct it, or presenting an idea just to turn it on its head, that is a central feature of Talmudic storytelling. One of the hallmarks of the stories of the Talmud is what I call the false front. What these stories seem to be saying and what they are actually saying are often diametrically opposite. The rabbis construct their stories so as to deliberately mislead us, such that if we only read them once, we will come away with the wrong idea. So the stories of the Talmud can never just be read, they must always be reread. And I lay out in the book exactly how we reread the stories of the Talmud. We have to zoom in and do a close reading of the text and zoom out and look at the different layers of context. And I kind of break that down and show exactly how to do it. And if we do, we will find more often than not that the simple facade of the story breaks down and in its place emerges a deeper, more complex, often far more radical truth that the rabbis wished for us to learn.
And it's not just true of in regard to the women. The study of the Talmud requires this kind of approach, even when studying the law, the basic laws. And it's been, for that reason, I think, subject to misunderstanding and manipulation, where people demonize stuff in the Talmud because they just don't understand it.
Absolutely. This is true, I think, both of the legal sections of the Talmud, but it's particularly true of the narrative sections of the Talmud, because the stories of the Talmud will very often read like simple folktale. And people will come away thinking that they have understood it, and they really haven't. And again, the rabbis do that deliberately. And so one very interesting question is, why? If the rabbis wish to impart certain moral teachings, why not just give us these teachings? Why go to the lengths of hiding these teachings behind the false front of a seemingly simple story? And the answer, I believe, is that the rabbis want for us to misread their stories. The rabbis want for us to experience firsthand how easy it is to misunderstand, to misinterpret, to come away with the wrong idea. So once we've reread a story, we realize just how badly we had misread it the first time, how prone we ourselves are to misinterpretation, and how important it is to try and avoid this kind of misinterpretation, both in reading and in life. And so how do we avoid this misinterpretation? We use those very same reading rules that we bring into play when reading a story in the Talmud. That means zooming in and doing a close reading of the text, which essentially is looking closely at each and every word, listening carefully to the silences. It's an exercise in sensitivity.
15 seconds, it means Sheila, 15 seconds.
Zooming out and looking at the context. That means realizing that there's a bigger picture here. There are other circumstances of which we might be unaware. This is an exercise in humility. Another rule is stories in the Talmud, like plays, give us what characters say and do, but not what they think or feel. And so we have to get into the heads of the characters. This is an exercise in empathy. And here, I believe, is the great genius of rabbinic storytelling. The stories of the Talmud don't just teach us to be more moral. The very act of reading them makes us so.
Gila Fine is a lecturer in rabbinic literature. She's in Jerusalem. The book, the important title here, is very famous, The Mad Woman in the Rabbi's Attic, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.